Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Spearback, that was one of the most exciting ministries that I think I've ever seen in a church, because what it does for the layman. It's like I said, just like my ministry. I'm not going to be your pastor. The Lord hasn't called me to do that, but it doesn't mean we can't speak on what God has given us to share with others. Our life are filled with experiences that God has brought us through that we can share with others. And in that instance, most times it is just about the things that God has taken you through that inspire you to speak. But with that said, we'll just ask the Lord to bless, and then we'll go through what the Lord has given me. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the day, Lord. I just think of what has taken place today here, Lord. To many it might not seem like much, but yet, Lord, it has lifted hearts, lifted burdens. Lord, I think about your word tonight and the opportunity I get to speak through your word, Lord, and help it not be through me, but through you. Lord, I know I'm not gifted at this, but yet your word is gifted at reaching souls and reaching hearts and, Lord, correction thoughts and, Lord, just changing lives. Lord, we just pray that would be the instant tonight, Lord. I just think, Lord, of the days that pass sometimes, and we just take what you've done for us for granted. Lord, help us never to do that. Lord, I just pray that as we go through the service, Lord, that you just bless us with what you would have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you will, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23, or 22, I'm sorry. The title of my service is A Son's Heart, and it's going to be a comparison of two different men in the book of the Bible. But going back to the burial of the donkey, in Jeremiah 22, he shall be buried with a burial of an ass and drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Now, he in this situation here is Jehoiakim. When you think of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, what type of man that's afforded all this to run a kingdom, what kind of household or what kind of parents would this gentleman have? And you start looking at, and most people know the answers to what I'm even going to say, but here Jehoiakim was buried a donkey's burial. If you went quick, I got to thinking about that, and there's a reference in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21. It'd help if I go to 1 Kings instead of 1 Kings 21, verses 21 or 23 and 24. Now here it's talking about Jezebel and Ahab, but the reference is the same type of burial. And of Jezebel also spake the word, saying, "The dog shall eat Jezebel's by the wall of Jezreel, and him that dieth of Ahab in the city of the dog shall eat him. Eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowl of the air eat." The death of a donkey or any animal, anything like that in that time and day would have been thrown outside the city gates onto the trash pile, where basically anything that was not good went there. And there was just rotting flesh laying there for the dogs to eat, for the birds to peck. But I'm still thinking the whole thing of this contrast is what happened to this man and what kind of parents did he have that he could get to the point where he was the ultimate disgrace. Even Jezebel was a king's daughter. And you would think a king and his burial would be something great a procession. They'd have mourning. The subjects would mourn them, but yet, in both these situations, they disgraced God. They quite frankly had a disdain for God. But let's see, about his father and what the Bible says about him. 2 Kings 23:25. And this is speaking about his father, Josiah. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses. Neither after him arose any there like him. How does a man like Josiah, King Josiah, that sought after wholeheartedly to serve the Lord and do everything to serve the Lord, ends up with a son like that? And I got to thinking about, and the title of that was, A Son's Heart. And when I get done comparing the two men, I want to contrast it in our own lives. But the thought that got to me is like, even though Josiah was a godly man, loved God, wanted to serve God with everything, a lot of us are raised in Christian homes, but that doesn't mean that we're also going to follow the Lord. We're not going to serve the Lord. I thought about that, and I thought, if you can have that much power and that much prestige with God, and from what God is saying here, that there was none other like him, the only conclusion I came to is he never had his son's heart. He never got to the point where his son wanted to do what his father wanted to do. And I thought about that, and it's like, that's a pretty cold reality in our lives. Do our children want to do what we want to do? Or are our children doing what we want it to do? And I thought about that. I saw, you look at this. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from a godly heritage, ended up buried outside the city gates on a trash dump. And I think about that. It's like, my son was in this situation. I just think about, and it makes you realize as a father or a grandfather or a grandmother or a granddaughter, because it applies to mom too. Are we doing what we need to do to gain our children's hearts? I mean, the embarrassment here to me is just unbelievable. But yet I think daily, in our lives, day in and day out, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We might not blatantly curse God, or as Jehoiakim did, burn the Word of God, the scrolls of God. I think that was the last straw for him. When Jeremiah was received the Word of God, and then Jehoiakim basically started to listen to it and had it burnt. I think that was the last straw for him. And I think the death, and any of us, if we get to the point where we embarrass our God that way, we don't deserve any better than what he got. He basically, he kind of sealed his plot there, I think. Now that's one father, godly father. No other man like that, the Word of God says. No other man like that loved God, walked with God, but yet his sons were an embarrassment. Because it doesn't just stop with him. It goes on to his brother the same way, Jehoiachin. This is just a lineage. After you have one man of God like that, one king that loved the Lord, did the things that the Lord wanted him to do, and yet you have son after son after son doing the exact same thing. It all comes down to a heart condition. in this situation. The other man I want to compare him to, if you want to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. We all know this story too. Abraham and Isaac, another father and son. In chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. Same thing, Abraham loved God, served God. God used him. What's the difference between his son and Josiah's son? Same scenario. I think in this instance, you look at it, Abraham had his son's heart. Because as they're walking up the mountain, Isaac is not stupid, just to be bluntly. He's not stupid. He knows what's coming forth. If you look at verse 7, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So like I said, Isaac's not stupid. He knows there's no offering. He knows he's the offering. If this is me and Abraham, I'm Isaac, in my mind, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to be offered up. But yet, I think in this situation, Abraham had his son's heart. Isaac watched his father in his relationship with the Lord. And it was something he wanted because he knew that God provided for him time and time and time again. Isaac knew what Abraham had was real. And he chose to follow it. Just like Jehoiakim knew what his father Josiah had was real, but he chose not to. As we look at this story, we can put the practice into our own minds. I know Pastor and I were talking, we drove over to Waco the other day, about the temperature of the church and the different churches, and you know, as a pastor, you kind of got to wonder sometimes, but I talked to my pastor a little while ago, and my wife and I discuss this all the time. The people in our churches nowadays that are supposed to be leading or should be leading into the next generation are not doing leading. The 30s to the 50s are, in my situation, closer to the 60s, which should be leading or not. We're not doing it. Going to most churches, the biggest activity or the biggest active ones are the ones, what we would like to call the senior saints, the ones that have been tested by fire, or we have the teenagers. We're relying, we're putting all the pressure on the teenagers to do the work. Well, the problem of it is, you got a scenario here. The 50s, the 30 through the 50s or the 60s that have children, they're raising them, but yet they're not interested in doing the work themselves. Are they going to have Jehoiakims? Or are they going to have a son like Isaac? The sad part about it is, if it's not interesting to mom and dad, it's not going to be interesting to them, other than the grace of God. We have an issue in our country, in our churches. It's not our country, it's our churches. The problem with our country is our churches. But I do see there's a serious, serious problem here. And every parent that ever raised children can always look back and say, boy, I wished I would have did it this way. Boy, I wished I would have did it this way. the temperature of our country, and now, and this applies to grandmothers and grandfathers, because now the parents aren't even raising their children. Grandma and grandpa are raising their children. But the charge goes to you and grandma and grandpa. Do they want to be like you? I think about this, and it's like, what is going to happen to the church when grandma and grandpa, your generation, pass on? Who's carrying the torch? Who's carrying the torch? Is it going to be Isaac, or is it going to be Jehoiakim? And that, to me, is stirring. I think about that. My son is in Bible college. And he called Wendy the other day, my wife, with an exciting, he just wants to serve the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. But when I look back on this and apply this to my life, and that's the whole idea behind it, comparing the two fathers, because both of them are godly fathers. But somewhere along the line, there was a heart condition. Somewhere along the line, something happened. But I think about my son. It's more by the grace of God he is where he is than the leadership that I gave him. All I ever taught him to do was serve. But there's so many other things that I fell short on. But I think about our churches, and are we going to move forward? And if we don't change this attitude, this lifestyle that we want to live, to where we can have it if we want it, we don't. It's not going to work. It's not going to. Our churches are going to become non-existent if there's not a change in the home. Mom and Dad, what are you doing to win your child's heart? I think about that. You know, there's just so many situations where we can make a difference just by showing our children that we're interested in doing this besides Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know, I said that the other night in their testimony, you know, everybody that's born again is in full-time Christian service. Well, it's not just here. It's in the home. If the home's not strong, this is not going to be strong. You see it so many times. You raise your children in the churches. When they get to that age, 18, 19 years old, they're just gone. We raise our daughters and we let them just, which we don't agree with, and I'm not saying what you do, but the thing is we want to allow them to date, or we want them to do this, and we always just, our philosophy for that was that if you're giving your heart to that person, and your heart to that person, and this person, that you're never going to be sincere in what you do. But yet, we always want to look at the son. But the truth of it is anymore, it's not the sons that are leading. It's not the dads that are leading, it's the moms that are leading, which God never intended that. But yet, in the same scenario, we'll raise our daughters and let them go out with who knows what. It's like, if your daughter wants to be have a relation with somebody, first and foremost, he better be sold out for serving God. If not, you're shortchanging your daughter. Mom and Dad, if your son comes home and says, well, I really like this girl, well, she better be sold out too. The only way we're going to make the difference is if we all get sold out to serve the Lord. Is there going to be shortcomings in our life? Absolutely. There's no way around that. We can do everything right and still everything turn out wrong. But it doesn't give us the excuse not to. We can do everything right and everything turn out right. But it doesn't give us an excuse to just take that for granted. Just because one turns out right doesn't mean the other one's going to turn around. Just because one father serves the Lord wholeheartedly and his son doesn't turn out doesn't mean the next father that serves his son serves the Lord wholeheartedly, his son will. I just look at it, and you're just talking. And I didn't realize he was actually, your pastor was actually that young. But he has an awesome responsibility to lead you. But you also have an awesome responsibility to support him and get behind him in what he does. But if we're not creating homes like or in we're speaking of, if we're not creating an environment where God has our heart, we might as well just stay home because we're not doing a bit of good. We're not going to get this church to the next generation if God doesn't have our heart. If God doesn't have our heart, don't expect God to have your children's heart either. But I think about this. As Isaac is going up through there, what gets a young man to that point other than Abraham's blind faithfulness? This is what Daddy does. I'm going to do what Daddy does. The bottom line is, do we have our sons' or daughters' hearts? Grandma, Grandpa, do you have your grandchildren's hearts? I want to speak to the young men. It's real easy to play the game, but you're not fooling anybody. And I need to apologize to you because there's not my generation leading you. And that's our role in the church. And I need to apologize to you. But it doesn't mean that you can't make the difference. Because don't wait for me to make everything right. Because I'll fail you just like everybody else will. You have to make a point in your life to where you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I know there's nobody there to show me how to do it. But Lord, if you will show me, I will be the leader. Because it's every task that God set before people, not everybody fulfilled that. But somebody has to. Young men, I charge you, you need to pick the torch up and go with it. I look at it as from going to church to church, my generation has dropped the ball. And chances are we're not going to pick it back up. And I'm just asking, pleading for you, will you? Two fathers, two sons. One an embarrassment. One went on to serve the Lord in the lineage of Christ. Whether we like it or not, we're the lineage of Christ. We can either be an embarrassment or we can either be the blessing and have the blessing of the Lord on our lives. You know, sometimes when I get to do this, I get so many thoughts running through my mind, but the bottom line is every message ever preached comes down to, first and foremost, are you a born-again believer? If you're not, you need to settle that. The next thing comes to my mind, are you willing to even serve the Savior that did everything, cost him everything? Are you willing to serve him? It's a whole lot more than just going to church. But with that said, it's just been a privilege just to even stand before you and preach, just to serve you. But I do, this is, and I don't know the temperature of church. It really is none of my business. It's between you and the Lord. But I just know it's running rampant. That we're not leading. And I would just like to apologize to you and God for it. You know, we have dropped the ball. We look at the issues of our country. The issues of our country is because of what happened here. The issues of the country are what happened in the home. You know, we've just let the pastor gave me that paper tonight, and it's like, why in America does somebody have to put an article like that in a newspaper in America that was founded on godly principles? You know why? Because the church is laid down on the job. But the responsibility is individually. It's not the pastor's responsibility. He's individually responsible. And he'll give an account for what he does here. But it's for each and every person that walks through the door. Pastor, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to give me to speak. I don't want to belay it anymore, but it's just been a blessing to serve you. Thank you.